The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me to heal the broken heart and set the captives free to open prison doors and make the blind to see. The Spirit of the Lord is now on me. The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me to heal the broken heart and set the captives free to open prison doors. And make the blind to see. The Spirit of the Lord is now on me. The Spirit of the Lord is now. Captives free to open prison doors and make the blind to see. The Spirit of the Lord is now on me. The Spirit
today for our teaching, and our title is We Are Called to Be Something. We are called to be something. And I'm basing the teaching today from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm primarily looking at verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. And it says here, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And so what does this verse emphasize? It says that you are called to be saints. Very interesting that, isn't it? When we have heard in the news recently that the Roman Catholic Church has canonized some more saints recently, Cardinal Newman being one of them. But you see, the scriptures say that those in Christ Jesus are saints. And that is why I'm calling this teaching today, We Are Called to Be Something. The wonderful news of the gospel and the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ is not only that Christ has dealt the penalty of sin. He has paid that price, stood in our behalf, but it doesn't stop there. In our salvation and the new birth that we have through Jesus Christ, we are also to inherit not only eternal life and the kingdom of God, but we're also to inherit rewards, positions, places of authority. And I think at times we tend to forget this. I believe that evangelism is so guilty of this. It somehow presents it, well, as long as you get saved by the skin of your teeth, it's fine. But we need the teachers in the church to open up deeper the scriptures to show us that we're not just merely saved, but that we are destined. We are called to be something. And here the apostle reveals to the Corinthian church, and remember that this was a church that had need of growing up. And he says quite clearly here, those who are sanctified in Christ, in other words, you're called, you're separated, and you're called to be saints. You are a saint by the decree and authority of Almighty God, not by some mere man or denomination. That is religion for you. But that is what we're called to be. Now, it's interesting that this word call in the Greek simply means to be invited or selected. In other words, we get the idea where one is invited to the banquet. We are going to be invited to the marriage feast. It is a calling. It is an invitation. This calling is to the wisdom of Almighty God. This calling is to understand God's ways, what God says about you, and what he's going to give and is giving. That is what this calling is about. And that's why we're so blessed with the Deeper Life teaching. Not only to go deeper with God and to walk by faith, but that we are destined, that we have a future, that God has a divine plan over our lives, that we're not just merely going to sit up in heaven with halos playing harps all day long, which some think, not at all. We are destined. We have been given a vision, a call. And that is part of the deeper life. And so often the enemy tries to avert us from seeing this and entering into this. God is trying to show in our daily walk, in our coming together like this, that we are pressing in. We are taking what is rightfully ours and has been given to us through Jesus Christ. And this is why the enemy comes as a thief and a robber to steal. That is his nature. And if he can't rob your salvation, he will try and rob you of your rewards and what you're destined for. Make no bones about it. So we need to be on our guard, and we need to have the word of God ministered to us, which is not only our manna, but our revelation, our understanding of God's will for our lives. We see something also familiar in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, also verse 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So we see very clearly that in your calling, you are called not only to experience the power of God in your life, but the wisdom of God. So here again we get this understanding that God's wisdom is not the wisdom of the world. Now there is a wisdom in the world. There is a wisdom, in a sense, to learn. There are things that we face each day, things that have to be done, chores to be done around the house, jobs to be done, and wisdom is applied to all of that. We're to be good stewards over what God gives us and the money that he blesses us with. There's a wisdom to that, but we're talking here not only about Christ, the power of God, that very power that worked in Christ, that raised him from the dead, and also the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is that you are called to be saints. You're not only called to be saints, but a royal priesthood, called to be first fruits, overcomers, all these things that we talk about. That is the wisdom of God being revealed to you through his word, that the world's wisdom cannot give. The world's wisdom cannot understand God. And this is why the wisdom of God has to be divinely given to us through the new birth. Otherwise, we don't know. We're blinded. We don't understand. We can even read the scriptures, the Bible. But unless the Holy Spirit teaches and anoints, it's of no avail. What does it say in Jude 1:1? Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. So here again in his introduction, he says that to those who are called, sanctified, by who? By God, the power of God. And you are preserved in this life through Jesus Christ. This is why I make so much about the life of Christ in you, who is preserving and keeping you. Without Jesus Christ, you cannot be preserved. And you need to be preserved to overcome, to endure to the end. The scriptures are quite clear about that. And so we find ourselves, we're called for these last days. The bride that's making herself ready, we're in preparation for the outpouring of the latter rain. We are preserved for this in order to experience it and be blessed by this. What does it say in Revelation 17:14? Revelation 17:14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. So what are the credentials to be with Christ, to rule and reign with him, to overcome the evil one of this world, the powers of darkness? Those who are called, chosen, and faithful. And they are the three things that I make much of, that we should know and experience in our lives. This is why I keep emphasizing our life is a supernatural life. Our walk is a supernatural walk. Why? Because we have been called, chosen, and faithful. That is not normal. That is not the world's experience. But it is your experience. And that is the wisdom of Almighty God. Let's turn also to Matthew 20. The Gospel of Matthew, verse 20 and verse 28. Matthew 20 and verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So he knew his calling. He knew what he was destined for. Jesus set his face as a flint towards Calvary to be crucified. That is not what you or I are destined for. And thank God in his mercy. Because I think if we were, we'd run away. But we are being told what we are destined for. First fruits unto the Lord. To be presented and placed on the altar. We've been chosen to be faithful, to endure to the end. We have seen the imagery in Revelation 12 of the man-child in the womb of the woman, maturing, developing. We are called to be something. You must not lose sight of the calling that is set upon your life. You may say, well, I feel so dry, so barren, nothing seems to be happening. That doesn't change your calling. All through the scriptures, we're called to be those saints. Romans 1:7 tells us to be called, we're called to be saints. Our rest of faith is found in this. In Romans 8:28, you know this well. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And that is why you can rest. That is why you don't have to try and work it out, fathom it out. This is why you don't have to work out tomorrow or next week or what will happen. You don't have to, because we know that all things work together for good. No matter how strange, whatever you hear, whatever is going on, and particularly at the moment in Parliament and with this country, there's absolute confusion. But it doesn't affect the overcomer, because we know that all things are working together for good, because God has the final say and not man. And we know this because of the love of God to those who are called according to his purpose. So if you have that calling on your life, chosen in Christ, you know what you've been called for, you rest in it. Even if you don't understand, or it doesn't make any sense, and very often it does, it doesn't matter, because God is in control. God is going to have the final say, not man. And it doesn't affect our walk, our faith. You see, this is why we have a vision, and God tests us to see if we will remain faithful. If there is anything that I see with FGA that we are being tested with, it's remaining faithful. I am convinced that that is what God is working in this assembly. I can't speak for other churches. I can only speak for us. I would base my ministry on this. That is what he's calling us for. To remain faithful, to trust him, to keep our eyes on him, and to know that he's got this under complete control. Why am I stressing this? Because we have to be turned into the vision that he has for us. We're not quite ready yet. The vision is for an appointed time, but it tarries. And the reason it tarries is because we need to be turned into that vision. That's why. We need to experience and know that we are saints, that we are sons. And that is an experience. It's not when we get caught up into glory. It starts now here in this life. And he's preserving us in order to enter into this. We certainly have glimpses of what is coming. And we also certainly have glimpses of time of what we're not, when we fall so short of the high calling. It doesn't take much to work that out. I truly believe that the moulding and preparations come in everyday life and through everyday common people whom we meet and so on. That is so much of our moulding and our preparations. It comes through common things, common people, common situations, everyday situations, the run of the mill. You know it and I know it. And all of that is moulding and preparing you. Somebody who shouted abuse at you or maybe offended you, that's moulding and preparing you. Somebody who lied and gossiped about you, that's moulding and preparing you. And I could just go on. Because that is how God does it. And you can stay in there and you can take it because you are being turned into the vision for the future. You know, we go through all these experiences, don't we? There are times when we feel so lost. There are times when we just feel so confused. There are times when we feel, where are you, Lord? These are all experiences, and they're very, very real. But God sometimes allows us to go through that because he's moulding us, he's preparing us. It's what is needed. We can't always be on top of the mountain. We like to be up there, basking in it, in the vision, that fantastic view that you have. There's a sense of power. But God doesn't let us remain too long up there. We have to come down in the valleys, those demon-possessed valleys, because it's there you learn to walk with God. It's where you learn to be saints and what we're destined for. And this is where he turns the vision into reality. God intends to manifest his glory through us. Now, don't get your mind into it, because it's mind-blowing. But that is what he intends to do. You know, a saint in the past said this: learn to thank God for making his demands known. Learn to thank God for making his demands known. And he's showing us at times those demands. And all those demands that he shows, he provides. My grace is sufficient. He empowers us to be able to stand when at times we feel the pressure is just drawing us down to our face. That's why he's making pillars in the house of God who can stand and hold, who can take the weight. But those pillars have to be tested sometimes. God is the greatest engineer, and he knows how to build those pillars. And he knows that they will stand, they will endure, and they will take the weight. And what is that weight they will take? That weight is the presence and glory of Almighty God. Because most, when he reveals himself, will either run away or be burnt up. God is making you into a pillar so that you won't burn up. So what do we make of the conclusion of this then? Isn't it wonderful how the Holy Spirit preserves and keeps us for all this work that God is doing? It's wonderful how the Holy Spirit, the omnipresence of God, makes it personal to you and me. That's why he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. And he's in you and he's in me. And the omnipresence of God is able to make himself personal to you and to me. That is mind-blowing. But that is how he does it. Each believer has the whole Christ in them. He gives all his time, his wisdom, his care to you and to me. And the end result is going to be all the same when we're caught up in the presence and glory of God, where he's all and in all. He has ways that he ministers to you, that he ministers different to someone else. There are seasons that he works in you and seasons that he works in another saint. But you experience the whole Christ, not just part of him or a little of him. Of his fullness you have received. And because we have his wisdom, we have his time, we have his care, we have his protection, everything, he gives me the legal rights to stand. He's given me his glory. He's given me his glorified body. Have you ever thought about that? If God, through Jesus Christ, doesn't give his glorified body to you and to me, we cannot be glorified saints. We cannot put on that new body. So he's not only given himself to us and gives himself to us, but he's given his new glorified body to us as well. And not only that, union with him and union with the Father. This is why, brothers and sisters, we are called to be something. And never lose sight of this. God is sharing himself through Jesus Christ with us. That is the generous nature and heart of our Heavenly Father. So look what you're called to. Look what you have been predestined to. This is why this has to be revealed. I'm going to say something now, and I trust that you take this in all the humility that God grants us and gives us. Because if you don't, this could blind you or be a hindrance to you. But I'm going to put this in just layman's terms. This whole walk of sonship, being part of the bride of Christ, first fruits to God, you didn't find it, it found you. And they are the mysteries of Almighty God. And when it's put like that, I am simply lost for words, because it was not in me. It wasn't in you, but this found you and stopped you and turned you around. This is why we're his. This is why we are his peculiar treasure. He has paid that price. You are not your own. I am not my own anymore. Life has changed. And the life that has changed in us is eternal, forever and ever. It will never come to an end. And this is why I've called this teaching today, We Are Called to Be Something. And that's why you don't have to be canonized as a saint. That's why you don't have to come up to good works and good standards to be a saint, as the world looks at, as religion looks at. You are a saint because God has said you are. And whatever God decrees comes to pass. And this is why the enemy can only produce a counterfeit, which he always does, because he is of the world. He is of the flesh, the first Adam. You're none of those things. You are in the second Adam. You are of the Spirit and destined for eternity. And this is why, as I close, the Apostle says in Ephesians that we are already seated with Christ in heavenly places. That is our position. That is where we are eternally. And they're going to come times, instead of us looking up, we're going to be looking down. Because that's where we already are, up there. And God is going to give us those experiences. But let the vision, let the call, everything that we hold to and we believe that God has given us over the years, let it take hold of you. Let it become a part of you. Let it become your life, your vision, your future, your destiny. That is what he wants. And the early saints and the apostles and Paul himself, they walked in such a realm. They knew what they were destined for. Because the very same Spirit that blessed them and baptized them and empowered them is the very same Spirit today. It is no different. Even after nearly 2,000 years, See, God doesn't change. Same yesterday, today, and forever. So you and I are called to be something. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, again, we thank you that you change not. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you called us before the foundation of the world. And it's not only just a calling, but it's a calling to something very specific. It is to walk with you side by side throughout eternity. The overcomers are going to be with the Lamb wherever he goes. Father, at times it seems almost impossible. It just seems like some fairy tale. And yet it is true because we read it, we see it in the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit confirms and witnesses it to us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, I pray that we would all be faithful. We would all endure with this to the end. And let the vision take hold of us. And that you produce out of us all and more that you've decreed that we should be. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus is